We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics. Here's your host, Todd McKim.
Hi, everybody. Todd McKim. Welcome to another edition of Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics. So we'll talk to the coach momentarily. But we do want to remind you that the Cal Athletics is happy to announce the introduction of the California Golden Bears app. In the app, you can add your season tickets to your mobile wallet, as well as purchase additional tickets, resell or transfer your tickets to a friend. The app is available now at both Google Play and the Apple App Store. Joining us first and foremost, head coach Justin Wilcox. Good to see you after a week where I did not have a game. Different coaches have different approaches to the bye weeks. There's a lot of different things that you can do. What was your approach last week with your team?
Well, it kind of depended on the player, but you know, health for some guys, development for others, and some initial game plan for all. And so I think depending on, you know, some of the guys who maybe had a high number of game reps this season and in past season, we took some of the practice reps off of them and really geared that more towards some of the guys who are playing, but maybe playing a little bit less this year, and some of the younger players to get them development work. And then also certain points in practice where we did our initial game plan and installation for the game this week.
Did you get an opportunity? I know coaches are so focused on their team and the next game, but did you get an opportunity at all to either get out and do any recruiting or watch some games on TV?
Yeah. So our coaches went out on the road at the end of the week, and were able to watch some high school games and do some evals. And then on Saturday, we got a chance to watch a lot of, you know, college football, and we were in here Sunday as a normal Monday for us, 5 days out, because we're, you know, our game's one day. But we had a good productive week, and then finished it with recruiting, and then guys watched some games on Saturday.
I mean, as I'm watching games on Saturday, and it's kind of wall to wall from 9 a.m. with the Red River rivalry all the way to UCLA in Arizona, you know, ending at about 11 o'clock at night. That was about as exciting a weekend of college football as I have seen in a long, long time. Upsets, fans are always excited about upsets, but just the way things happen throughout college football, it just shows you how balanced it is. I mean, you're in a situation, Alabama, loses for the first time in seemingly forever. Then you've got a Cincinnati, non-power five, the team moving up in the rankings with their victory. You look at the games in our league, the Oregon State, Washington State game kind of comes down to the final, couple of plays there. I mean, it was phenomenal to just see how balanced things are and how exciting it was.
Yeah, I think the parity in college football is evident. I think even more so in our own conference. The margins are very, very slim, and you got to play well, got to take care of the football. If you do those two things, you're going to have a good chance to win the game. And it's easier said than done. That's a real simple concept, but it's hard to do. So, we're spending our time on finding those, making some gains in the margins there.
Yeah. Every coach says, we want to play 60 minutes of good football. Well, I don't know the last time that a team played, a full 60 minutes, because if that was the case, every team would either score on every play or there'd be no scoring at all in games. So it's how long can you play good football? And in the case of your team, you've played some good football. You look at every position on the field, every unit has had its moments. It's just a matter of finding ways for either it all to come together in one game or for one or two units to play really well each and every week. How do you try to find that?
Well, yeah. And it's a delicate thing, Todd, as you know. I mean, the rhythm is important, and finding rhythm within the respective units and as a team. And we all know what that feels like. And we know when it's not quite right. And I think more importantly, it's just the consistency from the individual players and the position groups to create that rhythm. We talked about this last week a fair amount, that it's probably never going to be just perfect, in terms of, how you think the offense is going to line up and what play they're going to run and the defense we have called it. It's probably not going to go perfect throughout the game. Once in a while, it's all the stars all aligned, but a lot of times you got to make things happen. You create your own luck, and you create your rhythm by how good you're playing technically and, your response to a given play. And I think that's where we got to get better. I mean, it's just inches, and it's, a little bit better at each and every position as individuals, coaches and players alike. And, then things change. And I think, when things aren't going well, when you have the record that you're not looking for, you can always, there's a lot of emotion that comes along with that, but we really have to stay focused on, okay, well, what do we do to improve individually so we can play a little bit better? So those close games that we've been a part of that we haven't won, find a way to win those. And all of a sudden everything feels differently, it's just a matter of plays. I mean, literally on one hand that you can count throughout the season that change can change everything. So learning how to approach that mentally and also, finding that improvement. So, you make those plays and come out on top.
We've seen NFL films get great sound bites from coaches on sidelines. And the one I refer to right now is from Bill Belichick, where he's telling his players, just do your job. Okay. Do you get to the point where, when things aren't going the way you want them to, do you worry about guys trying to do things outside of what they're supposed to do and just do their job?
Yeah. You always have to guard against that. There's because the want to win and the want to have success as a team is there. I mean, it's not the fact that the guys don't care and want to win. I mean, there's not a group that wants to win more. And so you can, when things don't go your way, maybe you start searching and maybe trying to do a little bit outside of your scope of responsibility, which is not the thing to do, not right now. And so really owning your position, owning your role, owning your the next play for you. And we just have to stack those plays one on top of the other, because those individual plays will determine the outcome of the game. People also say, quit worrying about winning, just act like a winner. I think that's very true on how you approach practice, how you approach the next play, because that's all that really matters, is that next one. And so really trying to hone in on that and not get outside the scope of our own individual responsibilities.
And same for the coaches as well. It's not like with a bye week, you're reconfigure the wheel. You know, okay, you have your system. Now you're going to tweak that as you go along based on not only what your team can or cannot do, but the opponent that you have coming up as well. So how important is it to stay true to what you believe your identity is?
I think very important. I mean, we talked about that a lot as coaches, and, you know, it's the same thing. It's finding a way to put a guy in. Can we put him in a little bit more advantageous position so he can make that next play? Is there a better way to teach this technique with two words? Is there a alignment thing that we can clean up for him? But it's not, okay, well, we're going to ditch this, you know, we're going to ditch the offense, ditch the defense and special teams. We're going to make up something during the bye week. Maybe if you had five games, you'd have a chance to win any of them, you know, but when you look back and say, well, if we played, you know, these five plays better, we're all sitting here thinking, boy, we're on a roll and this is great. And everybody calls us gritty and tough. Well, when it goes the other way, you know, you can't really lose sight of that. And I know it's hard to do, but you said it. We have the foundation of what we do offensively, defensively, special teams. Our job as coaches is to find what fits best for the players on our team and then help them be successful and also hold them accountable to getting the job done.
It's also the time of the year where, for whatever reason, and usually it's injuries, you have some attrition, next man up philosophy. Talk about some of the young guys that you feel have stepped up and are getting more playing time and will get more playing time as you head down the home stretch.
Yeah. You know, starting on defense, I think in the secondary, you know, Lou Hearns has really done a nice job. He's really improved throughout the season, and he's got thrown into the fire at a position that everybody sees if you make a mistake. You know, it's one thing for the nose guard to get out of his gap on a run play and, you know, it goes for 10 or 15 or more, but it's another thing if the corner, you know, makes a mistake because everybody sees it. So I think Lou's done a really nice job continuing to improve. He's got a great demeanor about him. He's very competitive. I think the young linebackers with Femi and Trey Pastor, Nate Richenna have taken a step. They're going to continue to get more and more reps. Those are, you know, freshman players for us as well. The D linemen, those young D linemen are playing quite a bit. You know, a lot of inexperienced guys in there, but I think have started to show that they're guys that deserve to be in the game. And, you know, Bimage and Croto, you know, taking up some of the slack there from Coyne being out. So I think there's a number of players on defense doing it. You know, offensively, the young tight ends are really starting to show up. I think we got some of those young receivers that are going to continue to get more and more reps. And, you know, I think it's just that's what we need right now is to create more competition. And we need to, you know, have those environments where we can play multiple guys and continue to get better at those position groups.
You know, you mentioned Lou Hearns, and I don't know if you agree or disagree, but the position that he's been put in is similar to a young man that ended up having an outstanding career, Thompson, right?
Yeah,
was the cornerback, Saquon Thompson. His first game was at Tennessee as a true freshman. I think Meacham was the wide receiver, about 6'5", probably 225 pounds, played in the NFL for a long time. I mean, do you see any similarities to the situation that he's been put in as a young guy who's probably right now a little undersized like Sid was?
Yeah, that's probably, you know, that could be a good comparison. And Sid, as you know, Todd, Sid had a fantastic career, was a big-time player. I recruited Sid here way back when and really got to close with his family, who I care a great deal for. But I think that's probably a good one, you know. And Lou came in and he had a good high school career. He's a real quiet guy. So when he came in summer, you know, he didn't say a whole lot. He worked and he's not the biggest guy in the world as you've seen him. You know, he'll continue to develop physically because he's still a young guy. But the thing that's really stood out about him is he's very conscientious in terms of wanting to learn and know what's going on from a scheme standpoint. And he plays with confidence. You know, he is not out there, you know, trying not to get beat. He's out there to make the play. And I think there's a difference, you know, in that approach. And I really appreciate his demeanor and his confidence. And, you know, he hasn't been perfect, I don't know that any freshman corner has been. It's a tough position to play, but I think, he'll continue to get better and better and learn how to play college football, and I expect him to keep improving.
All right, this week you go to Autzen Stadium Friday night. We'll be on the air with the Buckeye Tailgate Show beginning at 6:30, kickoff shortly after 7:30. Autzen Stadium, the Oregon Ducks ranked in the top 10, depending on what poll you look at. But talking to some of their folks up there this week, they feel that they have played to the level of the competition, so to speak. They started the year, they got by Fresno State, which we know is a really good football team. Then they went back and got that huge win at Ohio State, kind of dominated that game. And then since then, it's almost, I don't want to say they kind of walked through a few things, but, you know, the Stony Brook game and then, you know, Arizona. And then last week, I mean, they seemingly had Stanford where they wanted him, had the lead with less than 2 minutes to go. And Stanford came back, tied the ball game up on a non-counting or timed play, went to overtime, and Stanford pulled out the victory. And as you know, Stanford for years has been Oregon's nemesis, dating back to the 80s. What do you see from Oregon this year as far as what they're doing offensively? Their quarterback been a little bit up and down, but all in all, offensively, they put points on the board every week.
Yeah, I mean, you said it. You see the talent, the QB with the RPO game, the QB runs, the skill on the perimeter with the receivers, backs, tight ends are talented guys, and then the size up front. I mean, they've recruited well for a long time and very, very talented group, you know, so we expect their best game. I mean, that's how we're preparing. So I think they're very, very skilled.
You've already been in a hostile environment, a couple of them, TCU, but I don't think TCU leveled up to what Washington was like. And I don't think Washington right now at Husky Stadium, it's the same as Autzen Stadium, which has been, you know, pretty much of a snake pit for a long time, and their fans and the way they do things up there. How do you prepare for the environment up there on Friday?
We work through crowd noise and silent counts and hand signals and all the things that you're going to have to deal with. So letting the players know, and a lot of them, a fair amount of them have been there. A bunch of them haven't, but really trying to stay focused on what happens, you know, inside those white lines. But as you mentioned, like, noise is a factor. You can't deny that the noise in the crowd is a factor. So working through the silent counts and the hand signals and all the things that we got to be able to do from that standpoint.
Are you going to go against your former defensive coordinator, Tim DeRuiter, who did a terrific job when he was with the Bears and now is at Oregon? When you go against former coaches, there's more to it than just schemes. I mean, there's hand signals and all that kind of stuff and how plays are relayed in and so forth. Does that cancel each other out because both sides kind of know what the other guy likes to do?
Sometimes that's probably they make bigger stories out of that than it warrants, you know.
Well, we got to have storylines each week.
I understand. They change hand signals. We change hand signals. We have multiple hand signals for the same thing. I don't envision that being an issue or advantage really for either team.
Is it more scheme or personnel? That he knows your personnel and you know his scheme.
Yeah, I think again, there's only so many things out there, you know, in terms of schematics, and they're gonna use their personnel and build the scheme around their personnel just like we are. So the schemes might not end up being the same. You know, there's probably going to be similarities. There are on tape, and there's no doubt about that. I mean, there's similarities and. Some of the fronts and coverages and pressures, but what you lean on is probably different based on the personnel at the respective schools. So it's probably a combination of both there, Todd.
And I know you won't see him in the first half because he's called for a targeting penalty in the late stages of the Stanford game, but Thibodeau coming into the season, a lot of people thought he maybe was the best defensive player in the country. He's been limited by injuries this year, but when he is on the field, is that a guy you have to know where he's at, number five?
Yeah, he's a very talented guy. You know, he's about 6'5" and 260, I think. He's a you know, really, really highly recruited player out of Southern California and got a lot of accolades. And so, yeah, when he comes back in the second half, it's a guy that, you know, we have to identify and, you know, deal with because he's a very talented player.
Well, a lot of talent on both teams, and this one should be an exciting environment. We look forward to the game. Certainly look forward to talking to you prior to the ball game on Friday night. Have a good rest of the week of practice, and we'll see you on Friday.
Thanks, Todd. Go Bears.
A reminder, Cal fans, that the Bears will be back in action at FTX Field at California's Memorial Stadium Saturday, October the 23rd against Colorado. Start time will be at 12:30 p.m. And so if you want to go, make sure you get your tickets and log on to calbears.com/tickets or call the box office at 1-800-GO-BEARS. That'll be the beginning, I guess, of the second half of the season. We complete the first half of the season as the Bears visit the Oregon Ducks this Friday night, Dotson Stadium, 7:30 kickoff on the air with the Bud Light Tailgate Show beginning at 6:30 from Dotson Stadium. And joining us now is a guy that's been to Dotson Stadium a couple of times, more than once. And that is senior Luke Beckett. Luke, joining us on the podcast tonight. And first of all, just your thoughts about having the bye week last week and maybe getting a little rest. What did you do on like Saturday and Sunday to kind of enjoy the weekend?
So real quick, did I miss anything? I heard you asking about the weekend. I think I tried going off Air Bears, but.
Oh, okay. Switch the internet connection. Yeah. No problem. I did ask you about the weekend because you had a couple of days off. What did you do with the free time?
Yeah. So the bye weeks are always good, good time to explore Northern California area. And, me and my girlfriend went up to, Lake Tahoe and South Lake and, just kind of hung out there for a little bit, ate a lot of good food and, did a little bit of a hike and, took some pictures on my camera. So it was a good little break away from football and, just a good way to refresh.
Yeah, you got totally away from things. Yeah. Some of the guys like to watch football games. Some of the coaches like to watch games. You said, the heck with that. I've seen enough football in 7 years. Let's get out of here, right?
Don't get it wrong. I was watching on the stream, Dish Stream app.
Okay. Okay. All right. So
got my football fix.
All right. a nature hike with a little football sprinkled in there. I can go with that. That's cool. Just talk about, you're going to go up to Oregon on Friday. It's always a raucous atmosphere. They pack the place. But the last time up there, the Bears played pretty good and actually led at the half before Justin Herbert, who turned out to be a pretty good quarterback, was able to rally them and pull out the victory. What do you tell some of your teammates who've never been up there what it's going to be like?
I was actually funny you say that because I was just telling some of these young guys on the D-line after practice, exactly that kind of a tale of two tapes for us, 2017 versus 2019 when I played up there. 2017, we went up and, honestly kind of came out a little flat and, with their atmosphere, they're a bunch of towel wavers and, they kind of like to play that front runner mentality and, they do it for a reason, to try to get in your head. And, I remember sitting on the bench looking around, what just happened? I mean, I think they were up like 21-0 or something really, really fast. And, I think we learned our mistake from that. And, in 2019, went up there and came out with a lot more energy and, just really didn't let the atmosphere get to us. But, I think we're able to use that atmosphere as a positive to really get us pumped up for that game and came out strong in the first half. And unfortunately weren't able to keep doing that same thing in the second half. But that's kind of what I was telling these young guys is, we really got to come out with a lot of energy and just an unmatched ferocity and just can't let the crowd get to us.
Also, a little bit of a reunion with your former defensive coordinator, Tim DeRuiter. I don't know how much interaction there is before the game. There's a little bit after the game, but do you plan to maybe say hi to him?
Yeah. I think we'll probably try to see him before the game. I know with former coaches, we've done that in the past. And, he was a guy that we got to have a lot of good years with and, great coach and a great person. And so I think it'll be fun seeing him and, hopefully we'll be able to get the bragging rights against him for this game.
Yeah. Just to use some of those lessons that he learned or you learned from him to good use and that beat his current team. That'd be awesome to do. No question about that. Give us your assessment of what you've seen on tape from this Oregon offensive line. They had a bunch of young guys last year when you played them down here and able to beat them last year. Now they're a year older. What's your assessment of them?
They're Oregon. They're going to have a lot of, you know, big talent guys, but we face a lot of talent guys week in, week out. And, to me, it's nothing new, especially being a seventh year senior, it's kind of funny, playing all these years, every single one of these guys were a backup, when I was playing them last. So, it's kind of funny, but, obviously I'm sure they've gotten better from that year, but, they're gonna bang us hard on the bump combos, and we just really gotta hold our ground and play the run well like we have been for the most part this year, and then really get after them on third and longs.
Yeah, you guys are one of the best in the conference in run defense. I think third in the league, I want to say, and so that's been a strength of the team so far. You've done a really good job there. Let's go back to, as a lot of people know, you spent one football season at Boston College. Is there a difference in the way the game is played on the East Coast in that league as opposed to the Pac-12?
I think there are a little bit of a difference in just, kind of the style of offensive line play. They're more of just, find the biggest guys you can find. And sometimes they're not the most athletic guys, but, I'd say on average, they probably are. Obviously, you get guys like, the players at Oregon and Washington and USC and UCLA, they're always going to have big guys too. But, I feel like week in, week out, you don't see as many, kind of speed, quick, finesse type offensive lines. But I do think the Pac-12 has kind of been trending towards more power, big boy football, kind of like the Stanfords in the past years. I think the Pac-12 in itself has been trending towards that, which I think that's great. I'm a big believer in just trench play, and I think that's where the games are won and lost at.
Did you play Clemson last year, right? Did you play him at Death Valley or did you play him at home?
Yeah, played him in Death Valley. And that was pretty cool too. That was one of my bucket list games. Obviously it wasn't one of the big sellout games, obviously with COVID going on, but it was still cool, being able to see them run down the hill, mm-hmm. touching Howard's Rock. And
right.
The one thing I'll say though is that the hill doesn't, it's not as steep as it looks on TV.
Oh, really?
I remember the first time I ever saw it was when Georgia played there with when they had like Todd Gurley, and I remember that because that was like the game of the year. That was an incredible game, and they're really doing it up with the buses coming around. They released all the balloons, and I just remember there was one guy that it looked like he jumped 10 feet in the air and then, almost like broke both of his ankles when he landed. And, so kind of going into it, I was expecting it to be real steep, but it really didn't look that bad in person.
Yeah. Yeah. Without the crowd, you just don't get the same, ambiance and atmosphere as you maybe would have in some other year, but at least you got to play that. That's one of the storied venues in college football. No question about it.
Yeah.
How's Boston College For sure. doing this year? I haven't even checked to see how they're doing this year.
I think they're doing well. I think they're 4-1 or something like that. I think they lost a Clemson close game or something.
It was a close game. Yeah. Do you keep in touch with any of those guys at all?
Yeah. Keep in touch with a couple of the D linemen every now and then, talk a little bit. And one of them's hurt. So I've been talking to him a little much since he's got a little more time on his hands, but, still keep in touch with those guys a little bit. Kind of like I was doing with all the Cal guys when I was there last year. So
I was going to say seventh year. So you've seen obviously a lot, and you mentioned a lot of the young guys are not getting a chance to play. Jaden Roberts has got a lot of playing time. It was tough to see Stanley McKenzie, go down with his injury, but that Ricky Correa has played a lot. I mean, the guys that Jake Browning has brought in at that defensive line, I mean, they are some big dudes.
Andrew.
Oh, yeah, that's for sure. I said Jake. Andrew, excuse me. Jake Browning was a quarterback at Washington.
Washington quarterback.
Yeah. what is it about Andrew that has made him, you know, such a good, not only coach, but a good recruiter?
I think just his just pure passion for the game and just his pure love of being able to coach guys. I don't know if you've ever talked to him, but when you talk to him, like you know that he loves football and more specifically defensive line play. I mean, some guys, you know, they'll coach a different position than they played in college or something. I mean, I don't think he'll ever coach anything but the defensive line just because he's a big believer in, you know, a defensive lineman has to have a certain mentality. You know, you're born different than an offensive lineman. Just kind of, you know, him getting fired up every single day in our meetings and everything and on the practice field and especially on game day. I mean, it's just, it's something that is, it's hard not to get you yourself fired up. And, if I was getting recruited by him, I mean, I'd choose him 1,000 times out of 1,000. He's a great coach, great teacher and loves us and we love him back. I mean, he really is just a great coach.
Has he mentioned the fact that he's going back to his native state this week?
He hasn't. I always get it confused that he's from Oregon, not Idaho, just, you know, because he played at Boise.
Boise State, yeah.
He actually, it was on our, we did a little Jeopardy game during fall camp. And one of the questions was, who did Coach Browning grow up across the street from that's on the Cal staff? And the answer was our video guy, Matt Fox.
Yeah.
And they were neighbors, literally grew up right across the street from each other. So that was kind of cool. You know, they're having a homecoming, you know, Coach Wilcox having a homecoming. So it's, you know, kind of a cool deal.
Yeah. There's been this connection with Oregon and Cal over the years. Even when I first came down to Cal 16 years ago, there were something like at that time, 15 members of either the staff or administration, equipment manager Ed Garland was from the state of Oregon, worked for the Ducks. So it was like Oregon South. And the irony was the head coach at that time was Mike Bellotti, who is a Bay Area native, and he's going to be honored this week. He was named, entered into the Hall of Fame, College Hall of Fame about 7 years ago, and they're finally going to put a plaque up for him. So this connection between Northern California, the Bay Area in particular, and Eugene and University of Oregon goes deep, as you mentioned. Wilcox, Matt Fox, Browning, Peter Sermon, Bill Musgrave, who I understand is making his first trip back to Autzen Stadium since he played for Oregon like 30 years ago. So it'll be fun for a lot of those guys, including myself, to go back there and see some old friends and hopefully get a win. That's the big thing: get a win. When we went to TCU earlier this year, I got up the elevator, top floor, where the press section was. And I was standing there looking for our room, and all of a sudden this guy comes by me. He's wearing a TCU polo shirt. Okay. He's about 6'3". And we strike up a conversation. It was your dad who was at the game. It surprised me he was wearing a TCU polo shirt. And I thought, well, maybe he's part of the stat crew. But your dad's like a financial consultant. I don't know if Gary Patterson is one of his clients or not. But we had a great conversation for 15 or so minutes.
Yeah. So the story behind that, he's always done this. You know, even when growing up, we were going to Arkansas away games or something like that, or even Arkansas home games. If we were getting sideline passes for the visiting team, if you had a client there, we'd always have to wear their colors instead of Arkansas. But one of his clients is the TCU play-by-play guy.
Oh, okay.
And so I actually met him back at the Armed Forces Bowl when we played at TCU. Also, I met him after the game, and that was kind of a cool deal. Just him being able to be there and be in the box seats.
Yeah, it was a wonderful conversation. You know, and he's loquacious. He's very energetic. He loves watching you play. He did mention when you returned home after your stint at Boston College, he gave you a little bit of a grace period where you could stay at home for a little while. And then it was like, Luke, maybe time to get out of the house, right?
Yeah. Yeah, kicked me out. He gave me probably longer than I needed. I think he gave me around Christmas to end of January. And at that time, you know, I was still, you know, kind of trying to see if the NFL was an option for that year. And, you know, unfortunately wasn't able to find an agent at the time, but, you know, then decided to, you know, really didn't have anywhere else to go, but it worked out that my girlfriend's out in Sacramento and I'll.
Right. So you were able to stay out there, do a little work on the farm out there and then make it to Cal. And obviously we're glad to have you for this seventh season. Yeah. No question about it. Hey, just what's the mood of the team as you get ready for not only this game, but as you head down the stretch for the final seven?
So I think the mood of the team right now is, you know, obviously disappointed with how the season's started, but guys are not discouraged. You know, I think guys obviously still think that we have a good team, talented enough to beat anyone.
Yeah, we lost you there for a little bit, Luke, and hopefully we'll pick you up in a moment. We just lost you there for a second. You're saying the team's optimistic. You got seven games to go.
Yeah. And you know, Coach Wilcox said, yeah. And he said, conference is wide open. So, you know, at this point, I don't think we completely control our own destiny, but, you know, hey, if we went out, you know, we put ourselves in a really good spot. And I think our team's very capable of doing that. So, starts with Oregon.
It does. It's just been a couple of plays here and there in some of these games. And if you can turn those around, you can have a bang up stretch drive here as you start that stretch drive with Oregon on Friday night. Hey, Luke, always good to talk to you. We appreciate your time and look forward to a big game from you. Your career high in tackles, by the way, came 2 years ago at Autzen Stadium against the Ducks. You had 9 tackles. So let's get more. Yeah, let's get 9 more, maybe a fumble recovery and come home with a win.
All right.
You got it.
I think I did have a forced fumble that game.
You did.
I think.
Yeah. You did. All around, good game, and hopefully you'll have another one just like that on Friday. Appreciate it as always. We'll see you up in the team hotel on Thursday night. We'll go after the Ducks on Friday night. Luke Beckett, the seventh year senior, doing a heck of a job this year for the Bears as they get set to take on the Oregon Ducks. That wraps it up for this week's edition of Bear in Mind. We appreciate you listening to us. Again, we thank Coach Wilcox for being with us. A reminder, we'll be on the air with the Oregon game. The Bud Light Tailgate Show begins at 6:30 Pacific time Friday night, the Bears against the Oregon Ducks. Until then, I'm Todd McKim. Thank you very much for joining us. And always, go Bears!
This has been Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics with your host, Todd McKim. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.